said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he'll be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do." That next verse, 16, says, "He'll speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him." Back to that 15th verse. "You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I'll help both of you speak, and then I'm going to teach you what to do." Amen. I want to talk about this morning, you've got mail. You've got mail. It was that age right after high school, I got a wonderful letter that said I had been accepted for employment at the United States Post Office Service. It was a man in church, I'll never forget him, John Matthews, who would take the students and young adults, and he would teach us about how to take these postal exams. And it was his tutoring that gave us an opportunity to knock on a door that eventually the Lord opened for many people. And it was the first real strong job that I ever had. I was made aware of it because of a letter that came in the mail. I did a number of things. Sometimes I was the individual that drove around to the boxes that put the mail in the bag and took it back down to the main office. Then sometimes I was a sub. That means I was carrying mail for those who said they had too much to finish in 8 hours. If you've ever worked for the post office, you know what it means to be a sub. But even back then in the late 70s, the people were talking about the day where the traditional mail may become obsolete. We've lived long enough to know that we don't rush to the mailbox like we used to. Dwight, you remember when we were in college, every day we'd rush to the mailbox and because we were looking for something. You were hoping that mama and daddy had mercy. You go in the morning, you go at lunch, you go late in the afternoon, even if you already checked, because it was a good thing to get some mail. Sometimes mail brings gifts, and sometimes mail brings information, but it's a good thing. Now we're living in a day where we don't really want a whole lot of mail, because when you've got an email address, sometimes you get loaded with mail that you really didn't ask for. And people expect you to answer every single request that they send. The truth is, I don't answer every piece of mail I get. Sometimes I don't do it because of where it comes from. I don't do it because sometimes I don't know who's sending it. And sometimes they have it shaded behind, they give you you think it's one thing only to discover that it's something else. And it ends up sometimes being a waste of time. I like this analogy, I like this thought because it was in chapter 3 of Exodus where in a real sense God took a special bush and used it, if you will, to let Moses know you got some mail. And God spoke through that burning bush. And in chapter 3 as well as chapter 4, Moses spends almost a whole chapter telling God why he wants to refuse the mail that he just received. Let me tell you about three or four things that I learned from this experience. I lifted up the 15th verse. It's really the focus of where I want to be. But for the context, you'll understand if you know the story. And if you check out chapter 3 and then chapter 4, you'll catch where I'm going with this. But there's a few things that I learned about this experience that Moses had when God came to him. The first thing I want to lift up is that when Moses gets this assignment, he treats the call like it's an invitation. God sets the bush on fire to get his attention. And God knew what it would take to get his attention. That'll preach. He'll get your attention, and when he gets over there, God, in essence, uses the bush and speaks through it and expresses to him, I've got some information for you. And when God ultimately tells Moses what he has in mind, the people down in Egypt, they've been crying. The people down in Egypt, they've been suffering. The people down in Egypt, I've heard, I've seen, and I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned about them, and I'm going to go down and rescue them. And it's as if Moses is so excited, so grateful, so thankful. It's almost as if you can hear him exhale, as if to say, finally. And everything was going great until God said these words, I'm sending you. And when God says, I'm sending you, Moses treated the call of God like an invitation. That's point number one. He treats the call of God as if it's an invitation. Now, let me explain something to you. An invitation is one thing. A call of God is something else. And you want to be careful that you don't mix up an invitation with a call. See, an invitation, you got an option. You can say yes or you can say no. And I don't accept every invitation that I get. Sierra, sometimes I don't accept the invitation because of the people who sent it, and I don't really want to hang around them. Thank you. I'm trying. Sometimes I don't accept the invitation because of the place I'm invited to go. I don't go everywhere, and I don't hang out with everybody. Now, don't get me wrong. I will go to a bar to get a good hamburger, but I ain't gonna necessarily go to a bar to drink and hang out. Sometimes I don't go accept the invitation because of the people. Sometimes I don't go because of the place. Sometimes I don't go because I don't find pleasure in what they're going to be doing there. So I don't, if that ain't my kind of fun, I don't want to just spend a whole lot of time watching somebody else have fun with something that I don't really enjoy doing. Sometimes I don't go because of the price. They invite you, but there's a price you gotta pay. And sometimes I don't go. Here's the last one. Sometimes I don't go because it ain't a priority. Sometimes I want to do something else. Sometimes I want to do something else at the same time. I don't accept every invitation, but I want to tell you that because there's a difference, Lori, between an invitation and a call. When God calls you, you can say no if you don't want to, but but you might want to think about it. There was a dude named Jonah. Yeah, there was a guy named Jeremiah that sat down and said, I ain't preaching, turned his mic off. There was a dude named Saul who said, I've been called to destroy the church. And then God got his attention. Busted him upside the head. Made him blind for 3 days. The reason why you want to treat a call differently, because when God calls you, you might want to write this down. I'm going to put it up so you can see it. When God calls you, it's connected to the fact that he has appointed you. That means you are God's choice. God don't always let you pick what you want to do. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? And you know you can't leave because you might be telling on yourself. Sometimes God don't. He don't let you pick what he wants you to do. It's in the call, you are God's choice. Watch this. Not only does he appoint you, but then God will do something extra. He will give you an anointing to do what he's appointed you to do. In other words, the appointment is God's choice. The anointing is God's power so that you can do what he's called you to do. God appointed Moses. God anointed Moses. And this is his assignment. This is something he wants you to do. It's his assignment. Stay with me. It's his assignment. Everybody that God creates, he creates with an assignment in mind. Can I help you real good up in here? Before God even made you, he had an assignment in mind. You don't believe me? He told Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, Moses had been appointed. Moses has been anointed. Moses has been given this assignment. Here's the next one. It's the appointed time for him to do what God has called him to do. Think about it. Think about all that the sovereign has done to arrange this appointed time. You do know in the beginning God spoke and created everything. Can't you imagine? Here the angels are watching God create. And then God, he creates all the plants. And then the Lord, it's as if he speaks one more time and creates one bush that has special qualities and sets it aside. Can't you see the angel saying, Well, what's that bush for? What's that bush for? And God said, it's for an appointed time. Well, when you gonna pull that out? When you gonna pull that bush out of nursery? It's for an appointed time. And then as years roll on by, and Moses is born in Egypt, spends 40 years there, and then Moses is in the wilderness another 40 years, then it's as if the Lord said to the angel, go get that bush. And knowing where Moses is headed, he gets the special bush and then sets it on fire, all to get Moses' attention. And it's a bush, and Moses understood lightning striking and burning up bushes, but this bush is a different kind of bush. And it gets his attention. It's the acceptable time. This is the time for you to do. That's what Mordecai was trying to say to Esther. Who knows that you were born for such a time as this? This is your time. And here's the final one. The final one, not only is it the acceptable time, but the people are anticipating. I've got folk waiting on you to do what I've called you to do. He done lined all of this stuff up, and the people, I know what you're thinking. Red, what do you mean the people's anticipation? They're down there crying. They're down there praying. They're down there anticipating. They're hoping God is hearing their prayer and that God is going to send a deliverer. It's the appointed time. They are anticipating an answer. Here's what God will do. God will give some. There are people that are dealing with problems, but they're dealing with a problem that they don't have the answer for. But God will call somebody who has an answer to somebody else's problem, and he will bring you together. Preach, rascal. And when you keep treating the call like it's an invitation, then there's somebody else that ain't getting their problem solved, and God wants to do it through you. Boy, if I was one of them preachers that had you talking to your neighbor. Hey, some of y'all need to start bringing somebody so you have somebody to talk to. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I need you to accept the call. I'm relying on you to accept the call. I need you to accept the call, because your call may be my answer. Don't be igging God, because your call is somebody else's answer. What did I just say? Your call is somebody else's answer. Because let me tell you why God makes it that way. Because he ain't going to call you and make you your own answer. Because if you your own answer, you're going to live thinking you don't need nobody. He treats the call like it's an invitation. You know what would happen if Bobby never responded to the call when her and Roxanne came across this little raggedy book of recipes called Granny's Secrets? We never would have experienced the hummingbird cake. We never would have experienced them triple chocolate chip cookies that shine on the top. Can you imagine if Junior had slept through his grandmama making them pound cakes? I know what some of y'all are saying. Yeah, I'd be 10 pounds lighter right now. I'd be 10 pounds lighter. Because your call is up. I got to leave that point. Here's the second one. He tries to avoid his assignment by telling God what he can't do. Let me show you something. Verse 13, but Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else." In chapter 3, he done told God, "You know I don't speak well. You know I flunked English. You know I got a PIP." That's personal improvement plan. That's the new word for kids in school when you don't do well. Is that what it is? They say, "I got a PIP, a personal improvement plan." You know I don't talk well. He tells God what he can't do. And all of that is to try to avoid the assignment. When we get to verse 13, he simply said, just flat out said, "God, just please send somebody else." Listen to these words. I'm going to say it one more time. You're going to catch it. You're going to catch it in a second. "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else." Let me say it again. "Pardon your servant, Lord. Send somebody else." He says, "Excuse me, pardon." Then he says, "Your servant." He's talking about himself. He says, "I'm your servant. But please send somebody else." When you use the word Lord, you can't reject the assignment in the same sentence. Okay, let me provide that one more time. Lord means ruler, master, boss. You know what you're doing. He uses the right words, Lord, but when it comes to the action, he gets off track. Lord, your servant, all that good. But when it comes to doing something, he says, send somebody else. I'm staying with it until you confess. I'm staying with it. I'm going to say it until you confess. Most of us, we're good at, Lord, I'm your servant. But then when it comes time to doing something, tell the truth. Send somebody else. See, he says, boy, this would be a great study because if you dig a little deeper, is the real issue, I don't want to do it because all you've given me to work with is a word? Because watch this. Anderson, listen to me. He doesn't say, "I'm sending you down there to fight." He doesn't give him a gun. He doesn't give him a sword. He gives him something that ain't even got an edge to it. All he gives him is his word and a stick and tells him, I'm sending you down there, and here's what I need you to do. Tell Pharaoh I said, Let my people go. So was it because all he had was the word, and then maybe he was focusing on the issue? Maybe Anderson, Dallas, he would say, my real issue is that I'm not good with words. But here's the truth. Plagiarism is expected. I, Plagiarism, you know what plagiarism is. Plagiarism is when you were supposed to write a book report, but you used somebody else's words. It's when you were supposed to write an essay, but you used somebody else's words. And you can get an F if you use somebody else's words. But in this text, God is saying, the only word I want you to use is my words. Plagiarism is it's expected. Watch this. He says, I'm going to speak to you. And then you're going to speak to him, Aaron. And then Aaron is going to speak to the people. But what I need you to do is use my words. Because plagiarism is, it is expected. You hang out with me, and I'm going to talk to you. And then you go hang out with Aaron, and you tell him what I said to say. And then he's going to stand up, and you're going to be right there beside him, and he's going to be, you're going to put the words in his mouth, and he going to say what I said for you to tell him to say, and if he don't say it, you standing right there. Because I'm going to give you, I'm going to tell you what to say. I'm going to jump on to point number three. Here's the next one. I got to hurry. Moses doesn't trust that God knows what he needs. He doesn't trust that God knows what he needs. He don't trust that God knows what he needs. Here's what he's dealing with. He's dealing with the fact, Brother Jones, he's dealing with the fact, hey, even with Aaron, we're two different people. We're two different people. They're different. They're different people. God understands that. He's dealing with different people. And these are different people with different assignments. You got two different people. You got two different assignments. You're going to hang out with me. That's your assignment, Moses. And then you're going to go spend some time with Aaron. And then Aaron's going to spend time with the people. Two different assignments. And they're two different abilities, two different abilities. Everybody doesn't have the same ability. Watch this. It's evident that Moses thinks that Aaron is smarter, smoother. So he ought to be the pick. But that's what I love about God. You might be snazzy. You might be smarter. You might be smoother, but God can take somebody who can't put a verb and a noun together. Have I got a witness here? He can take somebody that don't know the difference between Genesis. He may think it's just a car, but God can take a nobody and put his anointing on him and cause him to do amazing things. Because that's why you can't pick them based on, remember when they wanted to pick a king? They looked for somebody tall, dark, handsome, smooth, smart, snazzy, and God said, you're looking at the wrong thing. Yes, he's smart. Yes, he's snazzy. Yes, he looks like a king, but this ain't the one. Jesse, is these all the boys you got? And before it was all over, they went got somebody that was short, stubby. He was the baby of the bunch, and he was still stinking from being in the sheep, from being in the field with sheep. And God said, there he is. Because Aaron may be smart. Aaron may be smooth. Aaron could even be snazzy. But he ain't the pick. I'm trying to leave this point, but I want to help y'all up in here. I really do. I really do. I want you to walk away blessed today. I want to help you up in here today. Quit looking down on yourself because you ain't as smooth, smart, snazzy as somebody else. And just trust that the God you serve, the God who made you, has an assignment for you, and can't nobody do it like you, because it is the Lord who's appointed you to do it. They're different assignments, different abilities. But here's the next one. They're different. But they're both dependent on God. They relying on God. Because God knows what they need. He knows what they're up against. They're dependent on God. Watch this. This is going to bless you. Both of them, they're dependent on God. Here's what he knows. God says, I'm going to help y'all speak. I know what I'm sending you to do, and I'm going to help you do it. I know. Here's what you're going to need. One of the things you're going to need courage, because they're going to try to punk you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to need some courage, because when you stand before the king and in the midst of all of these movers and shakers, ballers and shot callers, and you stand there and you say, my God said, let my people go, you're going to need some courage. And I'm going to give it to you. Another thing you're going to need clarity. I got to make sure you're clear on what I tell you to say. And so when I tell you the water's going to turn to blood, I need you to say it. I know it sounds stupid, but I need you to say it. The water's going to be blood. When I say frogs, I need you to say frogs. When I say gnats, I need you to say gnats. When I say darkness, I need you to say darkness. When I say flies, I need you to say flies. There needs to be clarity on what I say. And when I say, I'm going to send the death angel, and if you don't put the blood of a sacrificed lamb over the door, the firstborn will die. I need you to be clear on what I say. Ain't what you think. Ain't what maybe you meant. No. You don't trust Christ, you going to hell. Is that clear? Jesus died for all your sins, past, present, and what you might do this afternoon. Is that clear? He's coming back again. Dead in Christ shall rise first. If we still running around here, we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we'll go back to be with. Is that clear? Ain't no passes in hell. Is that clear? I need y'all to talk with clarity. Oh, here's the next one. You've got to let them choose. See, Aaron is going to say what God told Moses to tell him to say, and then that's it. Then they're going to have to make a choice. They can choose to obey or disobey. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But y'all, our responsibility, we can't make the choices for them. That's why when you get thirsty, you gotta choose to drink for yourself. Wouldn't that be so silly? Or Vanna saying, "Woo, I'm sure is thirsty." And then Glenn goes get a Gatorade and chugs it down. "Woo, I sure am thirsty. I guess she didn't have enough." And he go gets another Gatorade and chugs it down. No, she got to choose for herself. She's got to drink for herself. You can't choose for the people. Just speak the word. Matter of fact, Oh, here's the last one. Here's another one. Here's another one. And when they make even bad choices, stay calm. I'm going to give you courage. I'm going to give you clarity. I'm going to show you stay out of the way and let them choose. And even if they choose the wrong thing, I need you to remain calm. I'm trying to help some of y'all right now. Quit losing your mind over your children making bad choices. Because the truth is, you fed them, you led them, you taught them. When they were here, when they get up to here, they grown. Now the truth is, see, sometimes children want it both ways. They want to be grown when it comes to choices, but they want to be a child because they still want to live off your paycheck. But one of these days, you're going to get tired of paying for a grown person who's acting like a child, and you got to let them live with their choices and be calm even if they make a bad decision, because they ain't got an answer to you. They ain't got an answer to you. Just step back. Get you a 44. T. Y'all think I know what a 44 was. Okay. Because they ain't listening to God. They sure ain't going to listen. You know, when somebody give you a gift, you ought to say thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Moses didn't think that the Lord knew what he needed. Watch what he says. I'm going to help y'all. I'm going to help you on what to say. Then this last thing in verse number 15. Listen to what God says to Moses. And I'm going to teach you. Look at it real good. And Moses, one last thing. I will help both of you speak. But then watch this. But I will teach you what to do. I'm going to teach you what to do. Because you don't know what to do, but I'm going to teach you what to do. Ooh, great teaching point, which means that God will call you, anoint you, appoint you without you already knowing everything you need to do and how to do it. Last point, I'm going to teach you along the way. I'll teach you along the way. I just need you to accept the call, and here's what's going to happen. I'm going to teach you along the way. Are you ready? I'll teach you. Along the way. Write this down. 3:14, chapter 3, verse 14, was one of those verses where Moses was giving God an excuse. 3:14. In chapter 3:14, he helps him, he teaches him who you're dealing with. 14th verse says, since you want to know, the easiest way I can tell you, just tell them I am. We're going to start with preschool. I am. 3:14, he says, Tell them I am. You need to know, here's what I'm going to teach you. You need to know, you want to know my name? I am. Then after them two words, you can just draw a line. Because as you walk with it, hey, Jaja, you've been walking with him a little while now, and you've been through some stuff, and now, after last year, now when you can fill in the blank a little different than before. You might write, I am a comfort. Somebody else walked with him a little while. You might write, I'm company. Somebody else might write, I'm a way maker. Somebody else might write, I'm a heart fixer. Just write, here's what you need to know, because I'm going to teach you along the way. I am, and I got to leave the rest blank, because it's going to change the more you walk with me. As you walk with me, ain't he a doctor? Ain't he a friend? Ain't he a lawyer? Ain't he peace? Ain't he joy? I'm going to teach you. Then in the third chapter, 12th verse, he says, here's something else you need to know. I am with you. I am. Then he says, another lesson you need to know, I'm with you. Now let's be clear. Because some of y'all done looked around and ain't seen God. Reverend, I thought you said, the Bible said, he said, I will never leave you. Ain't that what the Bible said? It is. But let's be clear. Let's ask a geographical question. Where are you? Now that's what we need to deal with first. Are you in his will? Because if you ain't in his will, he ain't obligated to go there with you. Here's what he said. I'm with you on this assignment. Now, here's the thing that blows my mind. Some of y'all have rejected God's assignment, and you still want God to bless you as you live outside his will. Ain't no. Ooh, come here, Jonah. God ain't obligated to bless Jonah going to Tarsus. He's running away from God. He's headed toward Tarsus. No, the anointing is tied to you going to Nineveh. I'm going to be with you as you do what I have appointed, assigned, and anointed you to do. That's why there's so many people with question marks on their face, and they're wondering, where is God? He's where you, he's the same place he called you, waiting on you to come back. I'm going to teach you along the way. Chapter 3, verse 12, I am. Chapter 3, verse 14, I am. Chapter 3, verse 12, I'm with you. And then at the end of that 12th verse in chapter 3, watch what God does. He says, and to let you know I mean what I said, I'm writing a date on the calendar. because after you go and do what I said, then I'm going to meet you and all the people back here at this mountain, and we're going to worship at this mountain when you get back. Watch what God says. I'm putting this on the calendar. Because when you go and do what I said with my word, when y'all come back, we gonna worship right here. He ain't even left the pasture yet. But God has a way of looking down the road, because he knows what he's called you to do. He knows what he's called you to be. And this is a marvelous picture. Junior, this is one of the best pictures of what the church is really all about. Because one of the things that the church is called to do is to take God's word into the world and say what God says. And if you take his word into the world and say what God says, the next time you come back and meet God, you won't be by yourself. You missed it. I didn't think it was that deep. Listen. He goes into Egypt, just him and Aaron. But when he shares God's word, when he comes back, he ain't by himself. Millions of people have joined him at the mountain because he took God's word into the world. Have I got a witness here? And when people responded to the word, when he came back, he wasn't by himself. You know how you fill up that pew? Just say God's word. And then when you come back, you won't be by yourself. You know how you change your family? Just share the word. And when you share the word, you know what'll happen? The next time you come back, you won't be by yourself. You know how you change a situation? Say God's word. And when you give the word, God puts power to the word. Have I got a witness here? There's power in his word. Power in his word. Redeeming power. Forgiving power. Way making power in his word. And when he comes back the next time, if you share my word, when we meet again, you won't be.